Good afternoon, everybody. This is Wambui Bahati welcoming you to Woodland Stars. Here at Woodland Stars, we believe that every human on the planet has the power to use their thoughts to change events in this mundane world. This show is all about learning how to gain control of that creative process. Co-host Nevin Campanella is traveling today and is unable to be with us. He may join us later, but he's not right here live and in person with us today. And co-host Michael Mason had a family emergency. But I'm sure that both gentlemen are here with us in spirit, and I'm sure that you join me in sending them the very best of vibrations. So let's get started. I'm happy and excited to be with you today. And today we have a guest. Her name is Kimberly Johnson, and she is here to tell us about the healing properties of aromatherapy and essential oils. Kimberly, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I am. Hi.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm happy to be with you.
You know, I don't know if anybody else can hear this. I hope not, but there's a parade in front of my, outside below my window.
And I can't hear it.
Can't? Good.
No.
It's the African American Day Parade in Harlem, and it passes by my window, and they didn't care that I had a radio show to do. In ancient times, sweet-smelling oils were respected more for medicinal properties than scent, while today the opposite is true. Most of us love the wonderful smells, and we all want to smell good. But most of modern society is ignoring the greatest attributes of essential oils, their health-giving properties. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And while there are many wonderful, wholesome companies that provide high-quality essential oils, the company that you are affiliated with, Kimberly, is a company called Young Living. Is that right?
It's right. That's right.
And so if anyone wanted to purchase oils or get further information or services from you, I want you to tell them right now before we get into the interview how they can contact you.
Okay, they can just go to my website. It's goessential.com, which is goessential.com.
Okay, goessential.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for that information. That said, I do want to iterate or reiterate that this show is not about any specific company. Our goal is to introduce you to and to give you more information for those of you who are already familiar with essential oils so that you can take that information and make more informed choices about aromatherapy and essential oils wherever you choose to purchase your essential oils.
Absolutely.
But before we get into the essential oils, Kimberly, and aromatherapy, let's talk a little bit about the essential Kimberly Johnson. Kimberly,
well,
your bio says that you are a descendant of North American and Central American natives. Talk to us about that. Tell us where you grew up. What's going on?
Well, I grew up in New York City, but my background, I'm sorry.
I said, did you? I didn't even realize that.
I did. And but my background on my mother's side, her people were from Kentucky, and my grandparents, her grandparents, my great-grandparents, were Blackfoot Indians, or Native American people. And on my father's side, he's from Central America, and he has Mosquito Indian, actually all different mixtures of different tribes in Honduras is where he comes from. And on both sides, there are healers and seers and that kind of thing, and I come from that tradition. Although we were smack dab in the city, we still carried like different traditions. Like I could remember my grandmother baking. You know, she was always everything was from scratch, and I could remember all the spices she would grind her own spices. When she cooked, she was a master baker. She would use like it couldn't be margarine; it had to be butter. Everything had to be pure. And I remember everyone just really gathering around and. You know, if you got a cake from my grandmother, if my grandmother made something for you, it was like, you know, it was like manna from heaven because it was excellent. It was blessed. And
so you come from that rich tradition of natural and gathering your own herbs and spices, and so this is kind of where your background is and what you do today.
Exactly. And, you know, what's funny is that I think that our traditions, like especially around food and nourishment, really shape how we how we regard our bodies and what we look for to heal them. You know, and
well,
we look
I don't want to get too far ahead now because
okay.
I think there's some people. In fact, I know there's some people. In fact, I know that there's at least one friend of mine out there who said, well, I don't know anything about essential oils. So
okay.
I want to start at the basics. And let's start at what are essential oils?
Wait a minute. I want to interrupt. Rambouille, this is Nevin.
Oh, hi. Nevin Campanella.
Hey, I just
hello.
Wanted to say, tell you, I was on the line, and Kimberly, hello, and how are you?
Hi, Nevin. I'm great. Thank you.
Listen, I'm not going to interrupt your show anymore. I just did not want Wambui to feel that she was out there alone.
Oh,
thank you.
I'm parked on the side of a bank over here in a little town about 30 miles north of me. I just wanted to say hello to everybody. I know you have a great show, and I'm going to get off the line because I think you're going to get another call in, okay?
Oh, well, thanks for calling in, Nevin. Thank you so much, and thanks for the good wishes.
Thank you, Nevin.
Okay. Okay.
Take care and have a great show, guys.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay.
You're not alone, Wembley.
All right. We were just at the point where you were going to tell us what essential oils are. What are essential oils?
Really simply, essential oils are like the blood of the plant, the lifeblood of the plant. And there are different ways to extract that blood from the plant, and or the plant, actually the bark, the roots, the leaves, anything having to do with the plant. And most essential oils are distilled, like steam distilled, and then some are pressed, like for instance, like a lemon or a lime or those kind of citrus oils are pressed. And just really stated simply, they're the life of the blood, the lifeblood of the plant.
Now, one thing that I used to do this, and my friend Carrie, who I was talking to, mentioned this to me, and I thought, you know what, I need to say something about this, because she visited me in New York a while back, and she was telling me when I told her we were doing the show in essential oils, she says, well, I don't know anything about him, but I'm sure when we walked up and down 125th Street, I saw people selling what I believed were essential oils. And I used to believe that these oils that we would buy, and musk oil, we'd buy to put on to smell good, that they had on the side of the street, were essential oils. Are those essential oils? The ones that you commonly see at the market on the street fairs and stuff like that, they usually have them with the incense and are they essential oils, or should I say, are they pure essential oils?
They are essential oils, but they're not pure. Therapeutic-grade essential oils, and I can explain the difference between that. Basically, like anything, and we're seeing that now in what we buy. Like if you really, I think people think that if they get a bargain, they can get something really good, and it's a bargain. And normally, that's not true. You really, most of the times, you get what you pay for. But in terms of essential oils, in North America, unfortunately, there's no real governing body that oversees the production of essential oils. And they're considered fragrances or flavors. They're not; they're just basically cosmetics. A true essential oil that has no synthetics and nothing added to stretch the oil will have 200 to like 500 chemical components that make it, that give it its richness and its ability to heal, and all the chemotypes and all the whatever comes together chemically to make that plant a healer.
Mm-hmm.
So now, conversely, what you see,
I was just going to say, so it's safe to say that all essential oils are not created equal.
Exactly. Like anything from shoes to clothes, basically they're different standards of it. But in essential oils, it's really, really important, if you're going to use them therapeutically, to get the best possible quality that you can. I'll give you an example. It's really a few easy ways to tell if you're getting a good quality oil. If there's something like lavender or frankincense or lemon or lime that you know in the regular world is edible, as an oil, it should be edible too. If it is not edible, if it says on the label, topical use only, or do not digest, you know that there's something else in there that has been added to stretch the oils. In the case of the company that I represent and the oils that I've been using for years, lavender is edible. You could put it on a newborn baby. You know, it's very, very, it's pure. It's safe. You can also use them internally. And later on, we'll talk about the different ways you can use them. But it's really important because there's something you want to use internally, and you cannot just go to the health food store and use those oils internally.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. See, when my daughter heard we were doing this show, she said, "Oh, I got some oils last week." And she said, then she got the bottle and she started reading the ingredients in the oil. And even though it said essential oils, there was essential oil in it, but there were other things that fillers and things in it too, and even fragrance. It even had fragrance in the essential oils. So
absolutely,
I hope that mm-hmm. would not be considered a pure essential oil. That would be have the therapeutic properties for
exactly.
healing that we're going to talk about.
Like a lot of people know that lavender, for instance, has it helps heal the skin, and so people use it to also grow their hair. And in terms of healing the skin, a lot of people have heard that lavender is good for burns. But in this case, like if you got a lavender from the health food store and you had a third-degree burn, mm-hmm. and you put that lavender from the health food store, or actually if you had like a second-degree burn, if you put that lavender on that had all these different hybrids or synthetics added or to stretch out the oils, you would actually turn that second-degree burn into a third-degree burn, because hybrids, or what they're using like now to stretch the oils, have it's called lavandin, and they have a lot of camphor in it, and camphor's very hot. They have a high percentage of camphor in it, and so that would actually burn you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important.
mm-hmm.
You know, that's if there's anything I want to get out to people listening tonight, is that you have to know your oil. You have to deal with the manufacturer of that oil, the producer, find out where it's from. If it's edible in real life, is it edible in that oil? If it's not, it tells you right there, it's not a pure 100% oil
in it.
Exactly.
Kimberly, the history of essential oils is, I find, very interesting, colorful, sacred, and I would even use the word powerful to describe the history of essential oils. And I've read that the Romans gained their knowledge from the Greeks, and the Greeks learned from the Egyptians, and blah, blah, blah. How far back does the history, do history records go that indicate the use of essential oils?
I believe, I think it's 4500 B.C., and that would be the ancient Africans, basically, were the discoverers of essential oils. They were some of our world's first physicians, first surgeons. They used essential oils as their medicine. They used it at that time for, like, anti-inflammatories, antibacterial, antifungal, antiviral, for wound healing, for tissue regeneration. They even use it in their surgeries as a numbing agent, as an anesthesia. So basically all of the things that we have recreated today as a synthetic pharmaceutical, those people knew to use as essential oils. And somewhere along the way, you know, we'll talk about how the history goes, but that knowledge was lost. Whether it was lost on purpose or not, it was lost. And so it's really important to see that they're capable of that. I mean, there's a reason why these plants are here for us to use, not just to look pretty and, you know, make our yards look wonderful. So,
well, I've heard somebody say that we're always trying to improve on God, but you can't improve on God.
You can't.
The universe gave us what we needed, and we're just not paying attention.
Exactly, exactly. One of the things that's interesting is that the ancient Egyptians they actually use the oils in the mummification process. And, you know, everybody looks at the pyramids and they wonder, how did they do that? Where did they get the manpower to do that? When they also look at, for instance, in 1922, when King Tut's tomb was opened, they try to figure out how, 3,000 to 4,000 years later, the skin was still intact. Well, in those tombs, they found also like 320 liters of essential oils and vessels, and there were oils like frankincense and myrrh and sandalwood, and those were the secrets that they used to heal themselves and also preserve themselves. You know, their rituals were so that I think they thought in the afterlife you could come alive again, and so you wanted to have your body preserved. But these are the things that they were able to use to fulfill their rituals. And you know, now we're discovering they really work. Like, I'll tell you just a brief story. My cousin was, you know, she had these lines in the forehead, and they had bothered her forever. And she, you know, I told her about the myrrh. She got the myrrh, and she started using it on her forehead. And a month later, she realized there was no frown lines there anymore. So little by little, you know, that was a cosmetic thing, but you see that they actually work. You know, they're relaxing the muscles or they're healing the skin. Just from the Egyptian...
I think I mentioned to you about my daughter who had this rash, and we put the lavender oil. She had a rash that covered, like, her whole back.
Wow.
And we knew we weren't treating because we weren't getting to the cause of it. There's always a cause when something happens like that. But whenever we would put the lavender oil on her back, the rash would go away almost in hours. I mean, it was a red,
wow.
It was a real visible rash. And within hours of putting the pure lavender oil, the rash would go away. So we could see that. In fact, can you tell us that story about... I know we're going to go back and get some more of this history, but there's the modern history of essential oils. Do you know the story about the how the man realized that somebody was
mad? Yes. Okay, yeah. Well, I'll just fast forward a little bit through history here.
Yeah, we're going to go back. Yeah, John Lavender.
Okay. Okay, there was a man who's actually he was a cosmetic chemist. His name was René Marie Scott Fosse, and he coined the term aromatherapy. And his research with he was in France, and his research was mostly on the cosmetic aspects of...
This is about the time of World War II, I've heard.
Around that time, in the 1920s,
right.
Around that time. And... Actually, World War One in the 1920s at this time, and he was working in his lab, burned himself severely. The story goes that he ran outside, rolled in the grass to get rid of this to extinguish the flames. And when he saw his arm, you know, being a scientist, he saw that there was like a gangrene kind of gas bubbling and forming on his arm. So, knowing about the lavender, he put lavender on his arm, and the next day it started healing. It started sweating, and, you know, if you have a burn, you know that how the skin sweats out, and it kind of releases itself from the tissue that's there, and it started healing the next day. And so that launched his real research into the therapeutic uses for lavender, not just cosmetic. And from Gattefosse, he actually then went on to teach medical doctors in France about the therapeutic uses of oil. One story that's also written in his biography is that one of his students, whose name is John Valnet, he was a medical doctor and actually was commissioned as a medic in World War I, and he was losing soldiers left and right because they were running out of medicine. They were running out of antibiotics. The antibiotics that they had were not working. They were not. There was no potency in them left. So he contacted and wrote Gattefosse. Gattefosse sent him oils, and the story goes that every soldier that was wounded I think they were in the China front at that time, every soldier that he treated with essential oils survived. So from there, that really pushed the French towards the serious research that we today use to figure out what oils to use and why.
And so, Kimberly, I'm going to go back now because I also don't want to miss the history of the oils in the biblical text and how the oils were used. Just in the Bible. This is a Bible verse that says, "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord." That's James 5:14. But there, all through the Bible, there are these enormous, these great stories about how oils were used to heal.
Absolutely. It's interesting that you said it because that's one reference, but there are 200 recorded references in the Bible of using oils. And there may be some that we missed. But frankincense itself is mentioned 55 times. And actually, frankincense in that time was so highly regarded that they considered it the holy anointing oil. And as I was doing some research about this, I came to find out that the word Messiah is actually Hebrew for the anointed one. And, of course, everybody knows about the story of the Christ child being brought by the three wise men, frankincense and myrrh, and at, what was misinterpreted at that time as gold or liquid gold. We find out just recently that that turned out to be balsam oil. And the qualities of those three oils, you would say, well, you know, why would these bring him these things? Because those oils are known to be killers of infection and immunity and strength builders. So they wanted this child to survive. And so basically they were bringing him, those three wise men were bringing him the gift of life so that he would, you know, to kind of support his good health so that he would grow up.
And were the oils also used as, because they were considered so valuable, many of them, were they used as money or exchanged for? Were they used in that way as well?
Were they considered,
you know?
Yeah, they were considered more valuable than gold. There was a story actually in the Bible about, basically, I guess in those times, if someone came to your home and they were highly, you know, regarded or highly respected, that if you had an oil like a spikenard, which is very, very expensive oil at that time, very rare, hard to get, you would have your box of it, and you know, as they said in the Bible, they would break the box and anoint that special visitor. And there's a story in the Bible about Jesus being anointed by a woman that he visited, to her home. So, yeah, when I really look at why, I look at why people don't know about essential oils, and partly it's because they're foreign. You know, everyone knows about herbs. People really don't know about oils. Then you see so many different ranges of qualities and oils, it's confusing. But as I thought about...
It's kind of like you get an oil, and because I believe I used to do this. I'd buy one of those oils that had been manipulated. It wasn't pure. I'd use it, put it on something, and say, oh, this doesn't work. And then I'd say, you know what? Oils don't work. And it's
exactly.
A pure essential oil. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's funny because when oils were first discovered by these ancient Africans, you know, I don't want anyone to get the idea that all of them use this. Now, basically, these essential oils and the essential oil therapy and medication was really, it was for the aristocrats. It was for the royalty. It wasn't for the common man. I think any common man that came in contact with the oils, they did it because either they worked at a distillery or a factory, or they worked closely with the royal family. So those things were really, really for people. And I guess it was a function of owning land as well, because these, you know, royalty would have acres and acres and acres of land, and sometimes it takes that much to make, you know, a pound of oil. Whereas the poorer people, the peasants, would maybe have a tree or a plant in their yard, and they would take that and take the leaves and use it as make a tea or a poultice, and then it wasn't nearly as powerful as what the royalty could use, but still, you know, it helped.
Right.
And so now, it's funny because all those thousands of years later, the same mentality holds. We don't know about essential oils because they weren't common.
I read something that said that Elizabeth I would surely use aromatic oils in her annual bath.
Yes.
I'll be asked whether she needed
it. It's right. And, you know, it's because I guess at that time they did not believe in washing all the time, and there were certain reasons why logistically they didn't have bathrooms inside. I mean, there was other things going on. They didn't have heat. They're all, you know, it was a completely different.
I've also heard stories about when there was the Black Plague. Okay, tell us.
Well, it's funny because I just saw something in the news about there's three people in the United States that have contracted it recently. But if you go back to the Middle Ages, like the 1400s, there were, you know, you had the Black Plague, and then there was this group of band of thieves or looters, and what they would do as gruesome as it sounds, they would like rob people who were dead or dying. And at that time, you know, people would just be really passed out in the street or laying out in the street dead from this from the plague. And so these guys, a group of men, would rob them, take their gold, and I've even heard that they used to take people's teeth, like if they had gold in their teeth or things like this. And they would rob them, and they got away with it for a very long time. So basically the king proclaimed that he wanted to catch these guys, and he could not figure out how they were able to get so close to them, how they were able to touch them and not contract the plague. So they were finally captured. I don't think anybody wanted to capture, but they were finally captured. And when they were captured, they told how they did it. And long story short, what they did is they were spice traders and they were perfumers. They, you know, from that background, and they knew what oils to mix to raise their immunity. They would put these oils on, you know, put their clothes out, go out and do their robbing and looting, come back to their homes, strip down, put the oils on again, put new clothes in, and go inside their homes. And this was something that they did. This is how they knew. Nobody in their family nor did they contract the plague. And so that those, you know, there was like a vinegar or a mix of different oils that they used.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting because today this is what we use in this company is a mixture of thieves as it's like an antibiotic, and I've used it many times instead of using traditional antibiotics.
I must admit, I take that mixture of oils with me when I travel from my hotel room, and I just spray a little bit around
just
the bathroom, front phone, you know.
And you know what's funny is that history is so amazing because that group became spawned pawn shops because whatever they didn't want, didn't use, or couldn't use, they sold, and that's where pawn shops began. So, so it's like it's interesting history.
Well, what I find interesting is that we have this amazing history and we have this amazing, the Bible, you know, there's so many Christian people who swear by the Bible, but they seem like they miss those parts about the oils, even the diet, that's a whole nother show, but they miss all the good information in there about the oils somehow, it's not translated into something that was good then and is still good now if we get the right kind, that it can work as a healing agent for us.
Yeah, I don't understand that disconnect because a lot of people that I know who are, you know, very Christian, church-going people, they consider if I would talk about these essential oils, they kind of consider them roots or something, you know, like some black magic or something, and I don't really understand the disconnect there. I do. Maybe I would see it, you know, maybe it does stem from the fact that regular people used herbs and, you know, it was like a hidden society using oils almost. It was forbidden to a regular person because you didn't have you could not access a distillery on your own. So I don't know what the disconnect is, but I do think that it's really important for people to understand that and to do their research, and I'd be happy to help you. I want to offer people a free information on learning more about the oils, because today I'll give you a prime example. There are times that you can use the oils when nothing else will work. I'll go back a few years. My sister, when she had her little baby, her first baby, my niece was like 3 days old, and she had jaundice. And the bilirubin kept building up, and every night it would go up like 2 points. And how she knew that is because she and her husband would trek back to the hospital, take the blood, measure it, and realize that the bilirubin levels had gone up like 2 or 3 points every night. So she was at, you know, wit's end, first baby, not knowing what to do. So I had my book, looked it up, and really found out that lemon oil would help. So I talked to my sister, asked her if she would try it, and you know, she said, oh, these oils are so strong, I don't know. And, you know, I can understand it because the baby's only 3 days old, but I told her that you would just rub them on your hands to the where your hands were basically dry and then rub them on the bottom of the baby's feet. So she finally did that, and that day that they went in to check the baby had gone down 3 points in her bilirubin, and then the next day when they went back, she'd gone down an additional 4 points, and she was out of the woods. And that was really important because at that point she was at a level 17 bilirubin, and at level 19, which was probably a day or two away, there's possible brain damage.
Uh-huh.
So something really simple like having that on hand is important, and having a resource where you can look it up and say, okay, lemon is good for bilirubin, let me try this. Really, really simple.
I also know when I have a lot of speaking to do, when I also always make sure I take peppermint and eucalyptus, and the peppermint helps in keeping me alert. Even just whiffing, if it's pure peppermint, whiffing it just wakes me right up.
Wakes you up,
And also the eucalyptus oil, if I feel that I'm getting a sore throat or something like that, I just put a few drops in water, and that just works really well. I think also as far as when you talked about the baby, many of us, we forget that our skin is an organ. And so what we apply on our skin is absorbed into our bodies. And
right.
One test is if you take a piece of garlic, rub it on the bottom of your foot, and it's your body is going to have that garlic smell through it just from rubbing it on the foot. So your body does absorb that.
Everything. Everything. That's an excellent point. Everything that we put on our skin, the body takes in. And we don't understand it. And that's why, you know, one thing about learning, for me, learning about these oils has really helped me change my whole lifestyle, because I realized that everything that I put on, everything, is absorbed into my skin and then into my organs. And I remember what's interesting is, like, I have a book, and it talks all about the different aspects of the oils and how to use them, and has different products to use. And in particular, I had always had trouble finding a natural deodorant because I didn't want all this aluminum and such going into my lymph system. And so I finally learned that I could use one of the toothpaste and some oil to use as a natural deodorant. And I used that for a while, made a little adjustments. But I remember one day I'm looking under my this is a little gross, actually. I'm looking at my underarms, and I'm seeing this, like, gray stuff coming out. And at first I thought it was, like, skin. So I look at it, and I realize that that's all that old deodorant or whatever that was in that deodorant coming out. And that happened for, like, 4 months, just stuff coming out. And when you give your skin a break, when you give your body a break, and you allow this stuff to come out, it's amazing how quickly the body will respond.
Well, you know, while you're on this, I want to tell the listeners my deodorant story.
Okay.
Hello?
My deodorant. I didn't want to use deodorant either, commercial deodorant. And so I haven't used commercial deodorant in like 2 years. And what I use is pink rock salt, which is what they call the Soleil that you drink, where you soak the rock salt in the pure water in. But I take
we
a
have
bit
someone
of
on the air with you. There is some caller on the air with
Hello?
You.
Hello?
Okay. Okay, hold on. Kimberly, there's a caller.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi. Hi, Wambui.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I can. My name is Jill.
Hi, Jill.
I'm Nevin's female side.
Oh, hi, Jill. Welcome.
I have a question about aloe vera.
Okay.
I like to have an aloe vera plant around, but I seldom use it because I don't want to hurt it.
Uh-huh.
And also, I'm concerned about any pesticides or fertilizing that may have been done on the plant, and I'm concerned about that absorbing into the plant.
Right.
Is there a code on these at a nursery that they can say it's all natural?
Well,
no,
I
would
say that. Kimberly, you talk about how you know what you're selling is.
Right. Well, aloe vera is a little different because that actually what comes out of that plant doesn't have to be distilled. It's a gel. It comes right out. What I would suggest is I don't know where you live, Jill, but contacting like maybe your local organic store.
She lives in Utah.
Utah. Oh, okay. If you're concerned, just contact one of your local organic stores or maybe a health food store and find out if the aloe vera that they sell is organic. And this way, you're killing two birds with one stone, so to speak, because you wouldn't have to break off your plant and not worry about the pesticides. So that's what I would suggest.
Oh, thank you very much.
Aloe vera
That's a good idea. We're somewhat limited in our shopping, but there is, because I live in a very small town, that I do know of a few health food stores and nurseries that I could check that out.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling. Do you have any other questions?
Wendy, I'd just like to say it's so wonderful to have a female representative on Nevin's radio show.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
You do such a wonderful job, and I love your little interjections from time to time.
Well,
so I will let you get back to your show. It's been wonderful and informative show. Thank you, and I'll
thank
say
you
bye.
Jill.
Well, thank you. Call again.
Please do.
Okay.
Actually, Jill actually brought up something that was really, really important that I was remiss in saying, is that with the oils, you also want to make sure that whoever you get them from, you want to make sure that they're organic because, again, like Jill said, oils, essential oils are oil soluble. So basically, whatever pesticides that are in the soil or put on the plant will be in the essential oil. So you want to make sure, again, that your essential oil is organic and is grown without chemicals and is not sprayed with pesticides and all of these things, that the water that it uses, that's being used, is pure. You've got to do your homework with the oils. And then once you find some place to stick with them and let them educate you, they should be educating you, too, on how to use these oils. Now, with my company, Young Living, we are the only company in North America that actually, when we get the oils in, we test them four to five times for synthetics, trying to pick that up to see if there's anything synthetic in there that is going to harm a person if they take them internally. So it's really, know what you're, buyer beware. Know what you're getting. I could tell you, I think someone had asked me, well, I can get, just like your daughter did, Emily, I could go to the health store and get this oil for like $7-$10. If you're getting an essential oil like lavender for $7 to $10 for a half ounce, it's not pure. You can, and then don't take my word for it, read it. Call the company, ask them if there's anything added to it, if there's anything in here besides lavender.
I want to, I thank Jill also for calling in, and she was talking about the female touch, the woman touch to the show. And I just want to add this because I read this, and it's, this month is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and there was something that caught my eye that was written by a woman named Jean Rose, and this is just an excerpt from, she's an aromatherapist, and this is just an excerpt from an article that she wrote. And it says, whenever I consider aromatherapy treatments for women who have been traumatized by painful sexual, psychological, or physical traumas, I think of the supreme woman's oil, which we talked about, spikenard, and its angelic sister oil, rose. And these two oils are consummate healing agents with remarkable purifying powers. Together, they are spiritually uplifting and capable of encouraging pure love and true forgiveness. Where spikenard is grounding and calming, rose is angelic in its ability to help one rise above personal pain. These oils are powerful vehicles for healing women's emotional wounds. And I wanted to talk about the emotional healing with oils. Are you able to?
Absolutely. That's another plus with getting pure oils. And I know Jeannie Rose is definitely talking about pure oils because the energy and vibration of oils that have synthetics in them are not calming. They're not restorative. They're not soothing and full of positive energy. And there are times where you could take an oil, like one of these oils in a bottle, and you don't even have to open the bottle. You can just hold it, and you'll be comforted. I remember a friend of mine was telling me that her daughter, she has a two-year-old daughter that could not get to sleep. So, and then the smell of lavender would, like, wake her up, which was opposite of everybody I've ever ever heard. So what she did is she put the oil in the bottle in the crib, and the girl sleeps wonderfully with just the bottle in the crib. So there are, we don't really know exactly how these oils work. We can look at the chemistry and take it apart and figure out, try to figure out what makes them work. But the essence of that plant, the essence of God or vibration or energy or whatever is in that oil does help heal you emotionally. I know that the tone of my house changes when I diffuse oils. And I remember one day I was at work. At the time, I worked with a lot of women. And there was this one girl who I had recently met, and I'm walking down the corridor, and I see her, and she's, like, heaving from the chest and crying and sobbing. And I'm not the kind of person that just kind of says, you know, have a good day and keeps walking on. I went up to her, and I asked her what was wrong, and she kind of mumbled out. And then what I got was that her mother had just been told that she had cancer, and then her mother called her and told her, and she was, like, you know, falling apart. So I had some oils back at my desk because I always was carrying oils around with me, you know, just always experimenting. At that time, I had, that day, I think I had, like, lavender and patchouli. So I took the patchouli. I don't know. I just grabbed it and opened the bottle and asked her to inhale it. And you could see she inhaled it, and you could see her forehead, everything smooth. I mean, the heaving stopped. She was able to talk, and she said, I just can't believe it. You know, I feel so much better. And it's true. Emotionally, you'll see these oils helping you. There are people, and there are different, we have different information and books and tapes on how you could actually use oils to get off of depression medications, which is a very serious thing. You want to work with your doctor, but there are oils, and there are different things you could do with your diet to actually wean yourself over time off depression medications. So there's a rich history, as we talked about, and then an even richer future and present time use of the oils. And I really, from my heart, I want to help empower people to let you know that this is something that's available to you.
Well, you know, a few weeks ago, week before last, actually, we had Gary Craig from EFT on as a guest on the show. And one of the things that he reminds us is that we are electrical beings.
Absolutely.
And which is how EFT works. It realigns our electrical wiring, so to speak. And so the way I understand that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the essential oils work is that we all have a vibration. And
right.
So these oils are very much, they're from a plant, and if they're pure and of good quality and have not been filtered down, they have a vibration, too. They're alive. They're living things, and this
Absolutely.
Vibration is still with them. And that is how some, you know, using the appropriate different oils can actually make you feel better, because it kind of like EFT does. It realigns your electrical
system. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for even saying that, because another reason why you want a pure oil is because of the vibration and the life in the oils. You know, the company is called Young Living Oils, and sometimes I forget. It's because the oils are actually living. They're living, and they have life to them. They're not dead. They haven't been killed or frozen with synthetics. And one thing I also want to tell people is that if you have oils at home, and you might not want to do this, but this is another way to tell if you have an oil that is rich and pure, is if you inhale the oil, you would, like, hold it at your belly button, and slowly bring, you know, open the cap up, slowly bring it up under your nose, and inhale under the left nostril. And then take it down again and slowly bring it up and inhale again on the right nostril. And what you will find with a pure oil that has all these rich chemical constituents in it and components, you'll find the smell is different in each nostril. The smell will register differently because it's not frozen. It's not... I guess that, you know, hasn't been killed by chemicals. And that's one other way. If you have a, you know, pretty keen sense of smell to tell the difference. So there's just so many ways. And I never say the oils heal. I do believe that just like with EFT, the oils are a healing agent, or they help the body unleash the capacity to heal. It supports the body. One story that I will never forget is when I first found out about the oils. There was a guy that I used to work with. He was brilliant. He was a young guy, but he was just really sharp, and he was in computers. And we would go to lunch sometimes, and he would tell me that, sometimes he would tell me, "Hey, I had to go to the hospital. I thought I was having a heart attack." And he was in his early 20s, and he said that it would happen to him like 3 or 4 times a year. They could not figure out what was wrong with him. So, you know, just being kind of naive about the oils, I said, "Hey, you know, I have this book. And I could tell you, I'll bring it, and we could see what happens with the cardiovascular system. You want to see what's going on." And he said, "Sure." We looked it up. He figured out some oils that he could get, some juice with the oils in them, and he started using them. And it's been like 6 years, and he hasn't had one episode with his heart, not one.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's powerful. And then his mother had ovarian cancer. And she was young, she was in her 40s, and she was told by their family really wasn't really well off, and she couldn't afford chemo or the pills for chemo, which were like $300 each pill. I mean, she was really between a rock and a hard place, and she had surgery to remove tumors, but that's all she could do. And ultimately, the tumors kept coming back. They kept coming back, and she would bleed and bleed and bleed. And it was really horrible, and I would see him, and you could see, you know, the despair in his face. And so, again, I said, "Hey, you know what? Let's try the oils. You think she'd be interested?" And he wrote down a number, had me call her, and I called her out of the blue, never met this lady. And we talked, and I said, "Hey, you know, I'm not sure if it'll work for you. It's worked for many people before, but, you know, you might be able to use these oils to help stop the cancer and help regenerate new cells." And she asked me what oils they were, and I told her they were frankincense, myrrh, lavender, and geranium. And again, please don't go to the health food store and use those oils internally. You have to get the pure ones because those will probably do more damage than good.
I just have to inject, for some people that do have really great health food stores, that you can get some. There are some health food stores that will have great oils, but you really need to check and sure. I just needed to say that because I know that there might be somebody that's thinking, "Well, wait a minute. There are some who do
exactly.
So I just wanted to say that. Okay, go
right.
ahead.
Right. And don't in that case, don't just stop at the health food store. Call the manufacturer. Get it from them. Ask them if they can be used internally. Because what I'm about to tell you is that how she used them internally for this. And, you know, I thank you, Wimbley, for that disclaimer, but I really want to stress it's so important, the quality that you get. But anyway, getting back to this, I told her about the oils, and she stopped, and she didn't say anything. I thought, okay, she's going to hang up on me. That's okay, you know, but this is her right. And she said, "It's amazing that you would call me, because last week I gave it to God that I didn't know what to do. And that night I had this dream, and when I woke up, you know how you have really vivid dreams and you remember everything." She said, "It wasn't like that dream at all. It was something where I didn't remember anything except frankincense and myrrh." And so she and her husband the next day, they went out trying to find frankincense.
I hate to interrupt your story, but I'm going to encourage you to jump ahead a little bit because I don't want to run out of time before we get to the end.
I'll jump ahead. They couldn't find it. I called. She tried it. The first month, she went back to her doctor. She tested negative for cancer. The second month, he said he encouraged her. Her blood was not exactly where she wanted it to be. After 4 months, she was fine. And he told her to come back next year, and that was about three and a half years ago, and she's still fine. So, you know, it's a possibility.
So there are a lot of really, I've seen how the oils make a difference. And one point I wanted to make also, and I think we're about out of time, I'm thinking, is there are a lot of critics of people, of course, who don't believe. There are people who don't believe in anything. Go to Quack Watch, and he doesn't believe in anything. But one thing that I want to to share with the people before we go too is that the military is using the stink bomb as warfare. And there's an article in National Geographic that says the task to develop an odor so universally repulsive it would be considered unbearable for people from all cultures. That's the challenge the U.S. Department of Defense has presented to scientists at Monell Chemical Synthesis Center in Philadelphia. So, in other words, they're trying to create this thing that's really, really awful that you smell. So it only makes sense to me that if you can create something
that's horrible,
so awful, and you want to die, that
right.
if you're smelling that, then doesn't it make sense that if you smell something that's really wonderful and alive, that it can only make you enhance your life?
Absolutely. And, you know, the great thing about essential oils is even beyond smell. There are people who have no sense of smell who still get benefits from the oils. And, you know, if we just stop and look at everything, everything in our lives is based from nature. I mean, the clothes, the food, even rubber, you know, all these things that we use that are made of rubber, that comes from the rubber tree. It's a plant. So everything is based in that. And also, I think, you know, going back to why people think this is, they're skeptical, they just really need to understand us also medicine. What happens in medicine, just a quick snapshot of that is that universities and scientists and researchers go to far-off places and study people who don't need medicine, who haven't been using it for ages, and they figure out what they've been using. They do their research, they stay with them for years, they learn their ways and their customs, then they try to isolate whatever they think it is that's helping them for, say, colds or cancer or whatever it is. And then they come back to the States, sell their research to universities, and universities sell their research to pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies try to recreate what's natural in the synthetic form so that they can sell it, because they cannot sell a plant and charge $300 a pill for it. So if they realized where these medicines were coming from, they would maybe be a little less skeptical. And then, of course, in order for you really to embrace this with young, not just Young Living oils, but any different way of healing yourself or helping the body heal, you have to take responsibility for your health. If you're willing to give it over to a doctor and to the medicines that they give, then that's not going to work. You have to take some kind of responsibility somewhere. And so that's
in my own research, I have discovered, or I found out, that the first psychiatric medications were based on a Native American herb. And what the scientists did is, just like you said, they took that herb and then they took it to a laboratory and recreated that herb synthetically. And which
it doesn't work. It's like taking the heart out of the body and saying, okay, this is how you stay alive. Here's a heart. You know, you can't just use parts.
Where do you see aromatherapy going and essential oils in the future? Do you think it'll ever be something that's mainstream?
I think so. I think we're moving towards that, because medicines aren't working for a lot of people anymore. And then the side effects from medication are so daunting that some people, not all, because nothing will ever be for all, I think people will open up to it. I hope things like this, you talking about it, I appreciate you talking and I appreciate everybody listening. This kind of conversation will maybe get us there.
And in all fairness, I have to play the devil's advocate. What are some of the drawbacks? Are there any things that, for someone who's never used oils and say they go find some pure oils, are there some things that still they need to watch out for and not do to be
absolutely
careful?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You wouldn't want to just drink like a whole bottle. You want to educate yourself, because they are very potent. Our essential oils are like 100 to 10,000 times more potent than the plant. So you do want to use them with care. Like anything else, you know, like a car. A car is wonderful if you know how to drive it. So, yeah. Make sure you get
carrier oils. Talk to us about the carrier oils a little fast.
When you're using oils for the first time, especially pure oils, you want to use a carrier oil because your skin's not used to that potency. Something like a coconut oil or olive oil, but very pure oil that, you know, maybe is edible. You would mix it with the oils just to get your body used to using the oils, and then you would use them on the bottom of your feet at first just to make sure you're getting used to them. With our oils, you know, use them internally in capsules. We could use them in drinks and just any way you can take them on topically because they're pure.
Cool. Well, I think it's about time to wrap up. Kimberly, give us your last thoughts. Anything that we didn't touch on that you wanted to have a chance to say or anything you wanted to leave us with?
You had
mentioned that you wanted to give us something.
That's right. If anybody wants to find out more about the oils and how they work and the different ways you can use them, and also I could send you a list of different oils and what you can use them for, just contact me at my website. It's, again, www.goessential.com, and that's GOESSENTIAL.com. And I'd be happy to send that out to you.
Great. Kimberly, I thank you. I'm sure that Nevin and Michael thank you. I'm sure all the listeners thank you. And we'd like to have you back sometime to talk more about other natural healing modalities that you are familiar with.
Excellent.
You've been a wonderful guest.
Thank you.
And so on this note, then I think we'll sign off and say goodbye. I thank everybody for listening and joining us today. And have the best week ever. Remember, you are magnificent. This is Wambui saying good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.